They got it. Between the two of us, we figured out how to push the button. Hey, Barb. What was the name of the largest knight around the round table?
I don't know.
Circumference. That's where that comes from. Most people don't know that. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is about my next series of messages. It's what you got to know to understand the series that's coming up. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. As Paul prepares to leave this world, he corresponds with his younger friend and associate, Timothy. In his final instructions to his young pastor, he tells Timothy and each of us that we all have a personal responsibility to know and to apply, handle the word of God accurately. Paul tells us that we have to work at being right about what has been written. Now, according to Webster's, diligence means the attention and care legally expected or required of a person. When it comes to Scripture, the expectation and the requirements come from God Himself. We call the personal responsibility to do what is expected due diligence. This is known as the effort a person is reasonably expected to make in order to avoid doing harm. Applying this principle to Scripture means we each do what God requires us to do. First, know what is in the Bible, and second, apply what we know as God expects it to be applied. This verse tells us that God will judge your efforts in His Word. It says we'll present our work with Scripture to God for His approval. Did we accurately handle His Word? Nobody's exempt. Everybody's going to have to face this. Whether you care about it or not, doesn't matter. It's true that those of us who are called to preach and teach God's Word answer to an even higher standard. The due diligence expected of those who call to teach the Word is greater. James 3:1 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Others say a greater condemnation, which is a little spookier. Now you may have noticed the number of scriptures I use to draw a conclusion when I preach. This is my due diligence, so that I do not incur a greater condemnation. It assures me, and hopefully you, that I am accurately handling the truth to the best of my ability. Now, implied in the phrase stricter judgment is the notion of a more pedestrian judgment for those who are not teachers, but the judgment is still there. To put it another way, if I am judged more strictly in you, that means all of those who don't teach the word will also face judgment for their handling of the word. Each of us has a level of expected diligence when it comes to handling the word of God. What does handling the truth mean? The book of Ezra explains it this way, from Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Set your heart to study, practice, and then teach God's word, because you really can't teach before you study and practice. All of us are teaching someone about Scripture. We all talk to others about what we believe, and we explain from Scriptures why we believe it. Simply put, pastors are here to equip you to teach. If the number of Scriptures I use in my messages sometimes annoys you, I humbly submit that your displeasure is incidental to me, because I'm the one who has to answer for what I say up here, and I don't believe God was kidding about the stricter judgment thing. It is said that the famous Scottish reformer John Knox was so burdened by the responsibility of the pastorate that when he stood in the pulpit to preach his first sermon, he began weeping uncontrollably and had to be escorted from the pulpit. Knox was overwhelmed with the gravity of what he was about to do. He understood what he would be held accountable for. He felt the stricter judgment. Now, that man that went from the pulpit weeping eventually became known for his fearless and fiery teachings of the Word of God. When he preached, his concern was the judgment of God. Pastors answer to God first and then to you for what they preach. God, because it's His word we are using. And you, as a church, because you have a responsibility not to hire nor put up here or consider a teacher who's not a workman who handles the word accurately. Later in 2 Timothy, Paul further explains the responsibilities of both the teacher and the congregation regarding the word of God. From 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Quite an auspicious beginning. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Don't ever get tired of doing it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn their ears away from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Paul invokes the name of God and Jesus Christ to add weight to a solemn mandate to Timothy. Serious business. Preach the word, not politics, not social agendas, and not your own philosophy. Do so with patient instruction. Send the word out to do what it does. It reproves, it rebukes, and it exhorts. It does it. I don't have to. It's a pastor's main job. It's what we answer to God for. Just about everything else we do because we're Christians. But we preach the word because that's our call. And preaching the word is what scripturally defines us as pastors. But these four verses also note your responsibility to the word as well. Make sure you do not accumulate for yourself teachers who would tell you the lies your flesh wants to hear. If you sought lies, you bear the responsibility for what you're hearing as much as the teacher bears the responsibility for what he's saying. Now, this is why I may give heed to complaints about how I preach, but I pay almost no attention to complaints about what I preach, unless the challenge is based on Scripture. In such cases, I head home and examine my message and my own beliefs. Because, brothers and sisters, I don't want to win a theological argument. I'm tired of that. I need to be right. As I look back over my life, many times I found right only after I found that I was wrong. This acknowledgement of my past errors makes me work all the harder to be correct now. I know why due diligence is required of all of us, not just me, because we're often quite wrong. It seems to be in our nature to use the word of God to achieve our will instead of using it to achieve God's. This is why we have to study to show ourselves approved, because we are creatures of total depravity. We have to learn the truth from scratch, from a foundation of humility. We study because this is serious business that we will all be judged for. So, Paul tells us that we will all be judged for the handling of God's word, and James tells us that those called to teach the word will face a harsher judgment. So, about the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All must appear so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. At this event, what is being judged is your knowledge of and conformity to the word of God. The recompense, the payment, will be made for both the good and the bad deeds of our lives, which are defined by what? Scripture. John 12:47-48. Jesus says this, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Man, we love that phrase. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Brothers and sisters, we trumpet verse 47 and we whisper verse 48. He says, my word will judge all those who reject me and refuse to hear it. The word of God is all that will be used in the divine case against everyone. You could hear it now and have it save you, or you could hear it then and have it condemn you. Either way, you're going to hear it and you're going to answer to it. Ignorance in this case is a choice, and it will not protect you from judgment, conviction, and punishment. These words of Jesus are foreshadowed in Deuteronomy 18 when God tells his people about the coming Christ, about Jesus himself. It says, it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will require it of him. Before Jesus said that, Moses said this. Think of it this way. We will all be held accountable for our own theology. What you believe matters. What you choose to believe is truth will be compared to the truth of the Word of God, and the difference between the two will be revealed to everyone. And that difference will be evidence against you. I am responsible to tell you the truth to the best of my ability. You are responsible to know the truth to the best of your responsibility, because we will all answer to the truth. Pastors are not people you hire to do Christian stuff for you. Pastors help you to know what is yours to do, to help you to do and to know what is yours to know. These verses in John 12 give a little more weight to a couple of verses most of us are familiar with in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Now, just think about what Jesus said about my word will judge you. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, and all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What an ominous thought. If you consider these verses in the light of John 12:48, we can see that the word that will judge us fairly. It can pierce to the marrow, where the stem cells of our eternal souls dwell. And from there, the word of God will judge all that you are. No hidden motive will remain hidden. All things are made visible by the word and laid bare before the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. In other words, the one we answer to. The word is here for you to know. Ignorance is a choice, and it is no excuse. You cannot blame me or Pastor John for what you should have known. But God will surely hold me and John responsible for what we should have taught you. This relationship between teacher, the people, and God is defined in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, where God calls the one who speaks his word to the people, watchmen that I put up on the tower to warn the people. Basically, he says, if you say what I tell you to say, it's off you. But if you don't tell them, what they're doing wrong lands on you. Warn the flock of the danger. God tells Ezekiel that he must speak his word, whether they listen or not. As always, as Christians, we're responsible for our obedience, not for the outcome of that obedience. That belongs to God. Each of us has our own responsibility to the Word of God, to know it and to obey it. And this brings us to the topic of my next couple of sermons: misusing, misquoting, or just plain making up Scripture. If the word doesn't say what we want, we alter it, amend it, remove it from its context, or just plain make it up. We all do this to some degree. either overtly, by outright lying, or covertly, through selective picking and choosing, what I call screen-dooring the word of God, letting in only what you want to hear. Brothers and sisters, Scripture says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. This faith that the word of God produces in us is meant to empower us to do the will of God, not to access the power of God so he will do our will. Since the word of God was handed down to Moses, the prophets, and then to the apostles, we have been trying to find ways to manipulate it and use it to empower our own agendas instead of empowering us to accomplish God's agenda. Even if we do not, God takes his word very seriously, and misusing his word has serious consequences, not just for me and John. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add to the words which I am commanding you, nor take anything away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. If you take away or add to it, you're not going to be able to keep the commandments. Proverbs 36, do not add to his words or he will reprove you and you will be proved a liar. Revelations 22, 18 through 19, the last chapter of the Bible, near the very end. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book or this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. From beginning to end, God jealously guards his word. Calvin put it this way: the fanaticism which disregards scripture under the pretense of resorting to immediate revelations, what God told me that's not in the scripture, is subversive of every principle of Christianity. For when they boast extravagantly of the Spirit, the tendency is always to bury the word of God so that they may make room for their own falsehoods. See, Scripture protects you from yourself. Scripture is not an enigma wrapped in a mystery. Its truth is there for everyone and anyone who desires to know it. The Greeks of Berea proved this to us. In Acts 17:11, it says this about them. This isn't the Jews, this is the Greeks. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They did what was theirs to do with scripture, and the word of God calls them noble-minded. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time in examining the scriptures to see whether what we have commonly received as truth is actually truth. Let's choose to be noble. I'm going to leave you with the words of A.W. Tozer. The word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. We must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than the whole Bible can make one a whole Christian. Amen.